Our next presenter is Mr. Christopher Blanchard. He's a Middle East policy analyst at the Congressional Research Service, and he's come to our attention here on the Council through his very excellent work in authoring or co-authoring 13 Congressional Research Service reports covering various aspects of Gulf security. We look forward to hearing from him. Chris?
Good morning. I'd like to thank Dr. Anthony and the Council, first and foremost, for the opportunity to address you this morning, and also to do so alongside such a distinguished panel. My task, as outlined by our hosts, is to offer you some focused remarks on U.S.-Arab security cooperation agenda for policymakers as we look forward to a new administration and to the beginning of the 111th Congress. I'll start by underscoring that my remarks this morning are made in my personal capacity and do not reflect the views or opinions of the Congressional Research Service. Now, in theory, that allows me to actually say something stimulating to you, so I'll try to do that. First, I'll review the menu of security cooperation programs and initiatives that the new administration and the new Congress will inherit in January 2009. Iraq notwithstanding, what will U.S.-Arab defense cooperation look like on day one? Now, that includes initiatives in the Gulf, but it also includes important initiatives beyond the Gulf that have to be taken into consideration when looking at the overall dynamic of security cooperation. What commitments and constraints are already existing, and what will the new administration and Congress have to contend with? And then secondly, I'll describe what I see as the most important unresolved issues and potential challenges related to those programs. In doing so, I'll try to identify some tangible policy questions and options for U.S. policymakers and their regional counterparts in the months and years ahead. Now, you heard a lot yesterday and earlier from Dr. Cordesman about the various pitfalls of the strategic environment upcoming in January, but also pitfalls related to existing programs. Rather than add to that sort of sobering list, I'll emphasize the elements that I think are most relevant to U.S. security assistance programs. Namely, first and foremost, the continuing terrorist threat to government's critical infrastructure across the region, the need to respond to an assertive, if not capable or maybe as threatening as we've been led to believe, Iranian regional policy, and the need to address the weakness of state security institutions, primarily in Iraq, Lebanon, the Palestinian territories, and increasingly in Yemen. Over the short term, obviously, U.S. policymakers will be constrained in their ability to respond to these challenges by the need to manage the continuing investment of resources and manpower in Iraq and Afghanistan, and also the unclear political and security endgames in both of those countries. To date, the Bush administration, working with Congress, has supported a variety of longstanding and new security cooperation programs to respond to these conditions and other conventional and unconventional threats. These programs include what I call legacy programs. These are long-standing programs, for example, with Saudi Arabia, such as the Saudi Arabian National Guard Modernization Program, the Military Training Mission. These continue to serve as the principal U.S. military liaison relationships with the Saudi National Guard and the Ministry of Defense and Aviation. They continue to operate through the mechanism of the Foreign Military Sales Program, and both programs in the last 12 months or 16 months have seen potential sales notifications to Congress that would extend program commitments and activities well into the next administration. As highlighted at yesterday's Ambassador Roundtable, the groups of the working groups of the U.S. strategic U.S.-Saudi strategic dialogue have helped strengthen U.S.-Saudi cooperation in other areas outside these long-established programs. And a parallel, if unmentioned yesterday, DOD-led initiative, known as the Strategic Joint Planning Committee, has charted a new course for bilateral security cooperation and the further development of U.S. Saudi defense capabilities. The other sort of important legacy program to take note of is U.S. defense cooperation program with Egypt, sort of conspicuously absent in many of our discussions. It continues to be anchored by an annual $1.3 billion foreign military financing appropriation to support the acquisition of new defense systems, upgrades to existing technology, and the support and maintenance of purchased equipment. There's also continuing close coordination on the use of facilities and the transit of Suez Canal. These are cornerstones that the new administration and Congress are going to have to take into consideration. We've also seen the development of new bilateral programs outside of the Gulf. For example, U.S. security cooperation with Jordan has grown significantly, again, through the use of foreign military financing assistance, but recently, last month, codified in the signing of a 5-year memorandum of understanding, subject to congressional approval, of course, that would provide up to $300 million a year in foreign military financing to support U.S.-Jordanian defense cooperation. Similar new program with Lebanon. Since 2006, in response to the summer conflict, Congress has appropriated over $400 million to support new security assistance programs for the Lebanese armed forces and the internal security forces. These programs are designed to improve Lebanese government's capability to assert control over its territory and meet security commitments under UN Security Council 1701. To date, U.S. programs have delivered supplies, training, ammunition, communications gear, vehicles, and the Bush administration has made a commitment that the new administration and Congress will have to take into account to continue, quote, enhancing the LAF's capabilities. And that's likely to include new congressional notifications and consideration of deliveries. A third bilateral program that the new administration and Congress have to take into consideration is our security cooperation with the Palestinian Authority. This is a longer-running program than many realize. It was derailed with the Hamas election in 2006, but was restarted in 2007 and has been supported through $160 million appropriation, again, to improve the capabilities of these internal security forces. To address some of the security cooperation challenges relevant to the Gulf, the core program, there's a multilateral initiative known as the Gulf Security Dialogue. There is a pitfall here or potential for this to fall into the sort of empty sloganeering that Dr. Cordesman warned us about. But what it represents is actually a fairly tangible and significant initiative by the administration to actually engage with the GCC in a comprehensive and repeated manner on subjects such as the improvement of their defense capabilities and interoperability, coordination on regional security issues, counterproliferation, counterterrorism, critical infrastructure protection. It represents a sustained and really for the first time interagency approach to the GCC partners to try and meet some of the challenges that Dr. Cordesman outlined. Turning towards what I see, what are the unresolved issues and challenges for these programs, and what are the new administration and Congress and our regional partners likely to face? The first important unresolved issue, and really probably the most important, is the definition of some organizing principle. Since the September 11th attacks, sort of ushering in a moment when dual containment and the Oslo peace process were both falling apart, counterterrorism approach has really served as the overarching theme of U.S. security engagement with the region. However, the need to marshal regional support for U.S. efforts in Iraq and contain the effects of that security situation have prevented a real sort of clarification of what U.S. strategic objectives are in the region and the prioritization of those objectives and the clear communication of those ideas to our GCC partners and potential adversaries. Post-2006, the administration has taken new efforts to sort of strengthen the capabilities of partner governments, as I've laid out, but also to respond to some of the more asymmetric threats posed by terrorist groups and by Iran, to sort of give a new direction to U.S. security cooperation policy in the region. However, a clear definition is still lacking. A post-9/11 or stable post-Iraq, even if we dare talk about that, paradigm. This is really the main issue that the new administration and Congress are going to have to identify through working with their regional partners or in consultation with regional partners. What that will lead to, ideally, is a review of what the U.S. defense posture in the region is and our core security cooperation programs. Obviously, strategy dictates operations and tactics. Which facilities do we need to maintain? Which partner capabilities do we need to encourage and develop? what sort of cooperation programs are required to complement what's likely to be a more residual U.S. presence in the region. In reviewing the programs that I described earlier, the new administration and Congress and our regional partners should think carefully about how to match and reshape these programs to meet current and projected needs, not just to continue the status quo and continue decades-long programs designed to meet conventional threats that may or may not materialize. It's a question of means and ends. Is defense cooperation a means to an end, or has defense cooperation in some instances, in some forms, become the end in and of itself? Again, we heard yesterday about some efforts to do that with the Saudi cooperation programs. However, I would echo Dr. Cordesman in emphasizing that Saudi Arabia's more immediate security needs are critical infrastructure protection, border security, and maritime defense, and new opportunities exist to meet those. To sum up, I would like to encourage both our U.S. policymakers in the audience and our regional partners to focus a little bit more on process. Last year on this panel, General Martin Dempsey stated that stovepipe authorities, a lack of clear vision, frustration with the pace of the foreign military sales program, these were things that were really limiting the effectiveness of U.S. Arab military cooperation. He suggested that those programs and procedures and objectives be revisited and streamlined. I would suggest that looking forward to the opening of the new administration, that policymakers on both sides seriously consider General Dempsey's recommendations and work together to sort of chart a new course and really revitalize security cooperation programs to meet the serious threats that this conference has helped outline. Thank you.